Welcome, everyone, to the PwC podcast.
Great to be here.
Today, we are really going to dig into something important, something that I think quietly touches every single believer, the real cost of courage.
Mm-hmm.
We're exploring that place where faith meets action and asking, you know, why do so many of us feel, well, stuck? Like we're struggling to live out the bold faith we genuinely hold inside.
It's a really crucial topic. And the sources we looked at, they immediately challenge something pretty fundamental, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
We often see struggle, you know, hardship in life as maybe a sign God's unhappy with us or we failed somehow.
Right, like punishment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the material suggests maybe our struggle comes from something simpler, almost kind of transactional
tension. Okay, transactional tension. Let's unpack that a bit. So we want the good stuff Christianity offers, right? The peace, the joy, heaven.
All the benefits, yes.
But we're really, really hesitant to accept the public cost, the sometimes uncomfortable bit of actually standing up for truth.
We want the result without the resistance, essentially.
Yeah.
And that resistance, that's the crux of it. We're aiming for a discussion that's, look, deeply empathetic. This stuff is hard.
It really is.
But also one that doesn't quite let us off the hook. This deep dive is about seeing that courage and comfort. They rarely live in the same house.
Mm.
And we're usually picking one over the other.
So let's start right there at the source, this comfort trap. It feels like a universal thing, this pull towards just wanting things to be easy.
Oh, absolutely. It's human nature. We want that deep supernatural peace from God.
Mm.
But keeping that peace often means we have to face conflict, maybe pushback. Out there in the real world.
Right.
And the sources, they diagnose this conflict as living with divided loyalties.
Divided loyalty. That's a really interesting phrase because it doesn't have to mean like outright rebellion or anything dramatic.
No, it's much subtler.
It's like having one foot firmly in faith, committed to, you know, eternal things, but keeping the other foot kind of hovering, ready to pull back or just stay quiet if things get awkward or challenging in our culture.
And that creates huge internal stress. Just think about it. Trying to serve Christ and keep everyone around you happy, or at least not upset with you.
Yeah, you can't really do both perfectly.
You can't. You end up in this state of, like, constant low-level anxiety. Your soul's never really settled because it's always trying to negotiate some kind of compromise.
And the irony is we feel like we're losing our peace because we're struggling.
Yes, when actually the struggle might be happening because we're desperately trying to avoid the conflict that living out our faith sometimes requires.
I think we often define denial too narrowly, too. We picture someone, you know, dramatically shouting, I don't believe.
Yeah, some big public declaration.
But the sources seem to suggest the bigger danger is passive denial, just omitting the truth when it feels socially risky or inconvenient.
That passive denial, that's the engine of the comfort trap.
Yeah.
And Jesus, well, he spoke about this exact conflict with, frankly, unnerving clarity.
Where do we see that?
If you look at Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, there's just no ambiguity. It's a direct call for public faith.
It's striking how direct the consequences are. Jesus says, "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven."
That's the promise, right? The ultimate validation for being loyal here on earth.
But then the flip side, which really should shake us up a bit.
It really should. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven.
Wow.
It isn't some vague spiritual idea. It's a direct link between our public, visible commitment now and our standing later.
And if you think about that through the lens of that passive denial we talked about, it's actually quite sobering.
Yeah.
Denying Christ isn't always some big dramatic act. Maybe it's just not speaking up when a friend is gossiping or carefully curating your social media so nothing about your faith shows up that might alienate someone important.
Choosing comfort over conscience.
Every time.
Exactly. And that brings us right back around to the struggle. The minute a believer actually chooses courage, makes even a small stand, often there's friction, negative feedback.
Right. It happens.
And this is why so many of us look at that difficulty, that hardship, and we jump to the wrong conclusion. We think, oh, God must be punishing me, or I must be failing.
We absolutely have to push back on that assumption. The sources argue pretty strongly that often struggling in your faith life isn't proof you're failing. It might actually be proof you're succeeding.
Succeeding in confronting the way the world operates, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Standing against the current.
Okay, but that raises a fair question, doesn't it? How do we tell the difference between, say, difficulty we bring on ourselves, maybe through being clumsy in how we speak, or just abrasive and genuine pushback that comes because we're following Jesus.
That's a crucial distinction, yeah. The sources aren't saying go pick fights or aim for martyrdom.
No.
They're pointing to a specific promise, one we maybe overlook sometimes. It's in 2 Timothy 3.12, and it completely reframes how we should expect life to be if we're serious about faith.
Paul writes, "Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted."
Will be.
Notice that word, will. It's not might be or could be for the super spiritual. It's presented as basically a guarantee for anyone genuinely trying to live like Christ.
That changes the whole conversation then. Yeah. If you're actually living for Jesus, your values about truth, relationships, money, how we treat people, they're just naturally going to rub up against the prevailing culture sometimes.
They have to. They're different.
So when you feel that friction, when you face difficulty specifically because of your faith, maybe it's not a stop sign. Maybe it's a confirmation.
A validation, even. A sign that you're actually standing for something instead of just blending in.
Okay, so if we accept that struggle can actually be validation, the focus shifts, doesn't it? Away from just trying to manage discomfort and towards embracing growth.
Exactly. And the immediate benefit of standing up for truth, even in small ways, it's about internal strengthening, building something inside.
I like thinking of it like spiritual resistance training. You know, you don't build physical muscle by lifting air.
Right. You need resistance.
You build muscle by pushing against something heavy. So every time you choose integrity, when compromise looks easier, every time you speak truth with love, even if your voice trembles a bit.
You're putting tension on those spiritual muscles.
Yeah. And they get stronger. Your fear gets a little smaller. And the next time, it's just that tiny bit easier.
And that growth, step by step, it connects us to the big picture, the eternal motivation. When the worldly cost feels high, maybe losing an opportunity or a friendship feels strained.
That's when we need to remember the payoff.
Exactly. James 1.12 gives us that clear focus. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him.
The crown of life. When you put the temporary cost, losing some status, maybe some comfort, people not approving next to that.
It kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it?
It really does. The cost of standing seems, well, tiny compared to the eternal reward. It's like trading pocket change for an infinite inheritance.
Yeah.
The question flips from, can I afford to stand, to maybe, can I afford not to?
That's powerful. And committing to that path, that courageous way, it's almost impossible to do alone.
Needs community.
It absolutely requires community, accountability, encouragement.
Okay, so if this whole discussion about ditching the comfort trap, moving towards a bolder faith, if that's hitting home for you listening right now, if you feel that nudge to choose courage over comfort, even in small ways,
we really want to invite you to connect deeper.
We strongly encourage you to check out a faith community that's actually committed to helping you grow those spiritual muscles. We invite you to visit PWC Pittsford Wesleyan Church today. Come connect with others who get it, who are trying to stand firm too, and who can support you when that pushback inevitably comes.
Getting grounded in that kind of community is just essential, because standing firm isn't a one-time thing. It's, well, yeah, it's a marathon. So we need to move past just thinking about being brave and get practical. How do we actually do this day to day?
And the sources we looked at, they actually laid out three really practical, doable steps. They take us from just wishing we were brave to giving us a sort of roadmap for becoming brave.
Yeah, very concrete.
And the first step sounds almost too simple. Start small.
But it's fundamental, isn't it? Courage is really a habit, and habits get built through small, consistent actions.
Mm-hmm.
If you wait for some huge, dramatic ethical moment to suddenly be brave, you probably won't be, because you haven't built up the, you know, the muscle memory for it.
That makes total sense. So starting small means looking for those low stakes chances to just break that pattern of silence or compromise.
What might that look like?
Well, it could be as simple as praying over your meal in a restaurant, just doing it confidently, even if it feels a bit awkward for a moment.
Or maybe online, it's posting a scripture verse you found meaningful, or sharing an article that reflects your values, knowing it might get a few eye rolls or negative comments.
And what about relationally?
Oh, that's huge. The sources mentioned just choosing not to join in when gossip starts, choosing kindness instead. That's a powerful, quiet stand for integrity.
Choosing Christ's way of relating over just going along with the crowd.
Exactly. And these small stands, when you do them again and again, they reinforce that bigger goal. They build that foundation of conviction.
Okay, so start small. What's the second step?
This one is absolutely foundational. Know God's word.
Why is knowing scripture so directly linked to having courage?
Well, courage, Christian courage anyway, isn't just being reckless. It's conviction put into action.
Okay.
The more scripture you've actually internalized, not just read it, but let it sink in, spiritually, the more, well, confident and less reactive you'll be when you face a challenge.
Because you know why you believe what you believe.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You have the inner resolve, and frankly, you have the words you need to speak truth when it matters. You're prepared, not just scrambling under pressure.
It probably helps with humility too, right? Knowing the word gives you the framework to speak truth with love, hopefully avoiding that trap of sounding harsh or judgmental.
Absolutely. It's hard to defend principles you can't clearly explain, even to yourself sometimes.
Okay, start small. Know God's word. What's the third practical step?
The third step loops right back to that community point and the invitation you just gave. Build your support system. This is about setting up what you might call spiritual triage.
Spiritual triage. I like that phrase. So what does a good support system actually provide? It's more than just friends who agree with you.
Right. Much more. A solid support system offers, I think, three key things. First, accountability people who will gently call you out if you start compromising.
Okay.
Second, encouragement people who lift you up when standing firm feels really hard and costly.
We all need that.
And third, correction people who can help you discern if the friction you're feeling is genuine persecution for your faith, or maybe just, you know, you being difficult.
That's so important, that outside perspective.
You just can't stand strong alone indefinitely. Sharing the load, having that support, it prevents that slide back into the comfort trap when things get tough.
That shared strength, it sounds like the difference between just surviving the pressure and actually thriving through it. Okay, as we start to wrap up this deep dive, let's turn the focus completely back to you, the listener.
Yeah, time for some really honest personal application. We've talked about how comfort works and the call to courage.
So here's the first question to really sit with. Are there specific places in your life right now, maybe at work, maybe with certain family members, or in your social groups where you know you've chosen silence, where speaking truth just felt too risky, too costly?
Where you may be holding on to those divided loyalties we talked about. Be honest with yourself.
And then building on that, maybe sometimes difficult self-assessment. What's one small, concrete thing you could do this week? Just one step you could take to consciously choose courage over comfort.
What single habit could you start, even today, to begin building that spiritual muscle?
Because ultimately, the model we have for courage is Jesus himself, isn't it?
Absolutely.
He made the ultimate stand for every single one of us on the cross. He endured the maximum possible cost so that we could gain eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
So the defining question that sits before every believer every day is really this. Since he stood for you then, will you stand for him today? Even when it comes with a cost here and now.
And that decision made over and over is what shapes whether we live a life marked by sort of anxious compromise or one marked by deep, quiet boldness.
Wow. That's a powerful way to synthesize all this. Thank you for walking us through that. And thank you for joining us for this, I think, really crucial deep dive into living boldly.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in.
If this conversation sparked something in you, if it challenged you or encouraged you to think differently about struggle and courage, please share it. Share it with a friend, a colleague, someone in your small group. Let's inspire more people to live courageously for Christ.
And don't forget, if you want to dive deeper into the scriptures we mentioned or think more about those practical steps, the full blog post based on our sources is up on the website. It's great for personal study or using with your small group.
Thank you for listening to the PWC podcast. Join us this Sunday at 11 a.m.